1077 RKR, the Rocker Morning Show with Mark Frankhouse, driven by MotorCarsOnline.com. Joined on the phone right now by a prior guest of the Rocker Morning Show, former lead vocalist of Queensryche, currently on the Operation Mindcrime Tour, going to be making its way to Grand Rapids here. Welcome back to the Rocker Morning Show, Jeff Tate.
Hey, Mark, how you doing?
Hey, man, I'm doing great. How have you been?
I've been good. Been healthy, happy, working hard.
I love that, man. Very geared up for the continuation of this tour, Operation Mindcrime, coming at us actually May 12th at Elevation in Grand Rapids. You can grab tickets at jefftate.com. How's this tour been so far?
Oh, it's been great. Yeah, we're pretty much concentrating on the U.S. right now. And I think we have two more legs in the United States before we move to other parts of the world. But yeah, it's going great. We've been going since spring, you know?
Yeah.
And we took a break during the holidays, of course. Everybody had their holiday time, you know, and so now we're back at it to continue the tour.
Have you noticed that the demand for this tour is growing? Because, I mean, ticket sales have been going really well.
Yeah. I think, the challenge you always have when you tour is letting people know that you're coming.
No doubt.
It's inevitable that you play a show, you know, in Detroit, and the next week people are asking you on your website, when are you going to come to Detroit? You
know, yeah.
You never come to Detroit. And you just were there, right?
Right.
It always happens. So, I mean, getting the information out is primary, and people are starting to know about it now and talk about it. And, it's selling very well. Very happy with people who are still wanting to experience the Operation Mindcrime experience.
Yeah, we look at this album. It's really become a phenomenon. When you're performing the whole album on stage, do you see fans in the audience singing the whole thing with you?
Oh, yeah, I hear them. Yeah, people are very vocal about the album. And, it varies from location to location, but primarily people are singing all the lyrics, jumping up and down. It's fun to watch from my perspective, actually, that people are having such a great time, listening and experiencing the music. It's a wonderful, wonderful view I have.
What are some of your favorite tracks to play from the album, or parts you feel get the biggest response from the crowd?
Oh, it all does, you know, because of this particular album, it's a story.
Mm-hmm.
So you're kind of involved with the different chapters of the story here with each song that you play. I don't know, it goes by so fast, you know, for me.
Yeah.
Oftentimes it's a really energetic hour. The first hour is, wow, you know, boom, 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 and it's coming at you. And it's, I've got an incredible band of players who are really dedicated to this music and my music in general. And they really focus on the nuances of the music and bringing out the performances as they were originally written, you know, on the record, which I love. I love it when the players can play just like the album, you know.
Absolutely. And kind of hit on that, too, the importance of having the members who can play it the way, you know, it had intended to sound. I know the album took like almost 2 years to produce. Was that by design? Was it like crucial that you get the sound exactly the way that you guys wanted it?
Yeah, yeah. We were very focused on sound quality and that kind of thing. And actually, the Operation Mindcrime 1 album, when it came out in 1988, was one of the, I believe, one of the first five digital albums released ever. And at the time, you know, people weren't used to the sound of digital. We're mm-hmm. all used to it now, of course. It's, you know, 35, 40 years later.
Right.
But at the time, you know, everybody was really into listening to records and LPs, and they sound different, you know, than the digital world did. So it was quite a shock for people to hear, you know, this very powerful emotional music, you know, in the digital format at the time it was something else.
This album, it has always kind of been compared and considered one of the best concept albums and kind of compared to, you know, albums like Quadrophenia from The Who and The Wall from Pink Floyd. Was it your goal for this album to be seen as a great concept album? Were you guys just trying to make a strong album at the time?
You know, it was really just about focusing on the story. At think we had a really interesting story that could be translated to music, and I really wanted to paint the picture, you know, paint the audio picture of what was happening within the story, and that's one reason why it took so long to make, and the detail that went into it was quite extraordinary, actually. And I think really that's what's probably contributed to the popularity of the album all these years later, was the fact that when you began the album, you were transported into this world that really keeps you there and locked in and keeps your attention, you know, for a good length of time. And it still does. It still captures people's imaginations when we play live, and the reaction is fantastic.
Yeah, I got to say, just as a lover of music, one artist that kind of popped into my head, who I've got to see a few times on tour, was Blaze Bailey from the UK. And it was always fun to see him come to Michigan and perform, you know, his solo stuff, but even like the Iron Maiden stuff. And you talked about your band now, how they're very particular about, you know, the way that they sound, and it almost adds new life to the music, and it kind of speaks to the musicianship that's out there now. I'm sure it's got to feel awesome to have that band around you that really brings new life to these songs.
Yes, I'm absolutely dependent upon my players to present, you know, the music that I sing with. You know, it's so important, and it's important that they understand what the music is all about.
Yeah,
you know, you can play. It's very in depth, very complex music, but it's played in a way that makes it sound somewhat easy. Like, people always underestimate it when they first learn a Queensryche song, for example. They think, oh yeah, I got this, but then they start playing it, and oh, they don't have it.
Right.
It's quite complex.
Yeah. Now, in the time that you guys were producing this album, it you know, it was, for all intents and purposes, finished, but you were producing it. Were you touring during that time?
No. Actually, we had finished our Rage for Order album and tour cycle at that time, and we went into seclusion to really write and to make the Operation Mindcrime record. And we went to, like, three different studios around the world to record it and work on it. We worked in Vancouver, British Columbia, and upstate New York and Philadelphia at studios there, and then we finished it off in Quebec at Rush's studio there outside of Montreal, and then we mixed it at Beeselord Studios in Amsterdam.
Okay.
It was really kind of an international birthplace, you know, for the record.
So was the full focus on Operation Mindcrime during that time of production, or did you start writing other music during that time?
No, I was really focused on the album.
Yeah.
It was definitely an obsession, a labor of love, and I still have incredibly fond memories of the album process, you know?
Yeah. Man, that's impressive, because I always wondered that too, because you guys had after, you know, the success of Operation Mindcrime, you followed up with Empire, which I'm sure expectations were high, but you guys crushed it. Silent Lucidity went to number one. Talk to me about that whole time frame, because it must have felt like riding a wave.
Well, it's different when you're involved in it, you know?
Yeah.
It's on a day-to-day thing. You're pretty much focused on writing, and writing is a it's a lonely endeavor.
Yeah.
You know, it's just you sitting in a room, you know, contemplating your thoughts and trying to get something down, you know, and recorded. And it takes time. It really does. It's not something you can just immediately come up with things and, you know, mass produce music. Probably easier now with AI and all the different computer tools you can use. It's probably a lot faster now to create music, but it's still, I mean, it takes a lot of time.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, especially when you're locked in a room with your biggest critic yourself. So,
yeah. Yeah, I try not to listen to myself.
Yeah.
Well, or I'd never get anything done.
Oh, man. Well, Operation Mindcrime 2 was really interesting, too. You got to work alongside Dio. How was that experience and continuing the story?
Well, working with Ronnie was amazing. He's a phenomenal singer, was a phenomenal singer, and one of my early influences and mentors throughout my career. He was really instrumental in getting Queensryche at the beginning of our career. He took us through Europe for the first time on tour. We had a major tour with him supporting his album and his band at the time. And then later, of course, with Operation Mindcrime 2, I asked him to be part of it and to sing this particular song. And he just exploded on the song, and he did amazing stuff. And he was a consummate professional to work with, too, you know, as far as in the studio. He just comes prepared and throws down. In fact, probably the biggest challenge of recording Ronnie is that we had too many amazing takes, you know.
He
kept giving us take after take of great. So it became a challenge was how to judge that. You know, how do you judge great?
Yeah. Oh, man. We're looking forward to your guys' return. Jeff Tate's Operation Mindcrime, the final chapter. You guys are going to be at Elevation in Grand Rapids May 12th. Looking forward to seeing you there again. Again, JeffTate.com is where you can get those tickets. Best of luck on this tour, man, and can't wait to see you in May.
All right. Thanks for the interview, Mark. Appreciate it, man.
You got it, man. Great talking to you again.